Welcome to episode 31 of the Skip to the End podcast. As ever, I'm Ben.
I'm Adam.
I'm Mark.
And guess who's back? Back again.
Gemma's back. Please call a friend.
Gemma, aka Popcorn Heart, has joined us once again on the podcast, and we couldn't be more delighted, couldn't we, lads?
I'm happy. I feel I should extend an apology for believing you were a Make-A-Wish last time.
She's still here.
So,
since June.
Clearly things have turned around. Well done.
Thank you.
How have you been, Gemma?
Yeah, good, thank you. Very, very good. And it's very nice to be back as well and see your lovely faces.
Since we last saw you, which was for the Terminator Genesis episode, what films have you seen and enjoyed, or films you've seen and despised?
Oh, that's a good one. There was a very recent one not long ago, and I don't know if you've heard of it. It's Sicario.
Yeah. Adam's not seen Sicario. Mark and I have. I think we might have a brief chat about that later on in the episode.
Yeah, that was a very, very good one.
A spoiler-free chat, Adam. Okay. A spoiler-free chat.
Yeah. Ones that... Oh, God. You can't put me on the spot here, actually.
That's what we do.
Didn't prep this one, I'm afraid. Sorry, Listenerville. The Visit. I think at the time it was... I was quite... I know. Oh,
worst film I've ever seen.
It was... It was a bit scary when I saw it, but then looking back on it, and you're kind of like, oh, it's just two kids pissing around on a video camera.
Yeah.
Who's giving them that video camera? Terrible mother.
Yeah.
I think Mark's review for The Visit was, the Vis shit.
Yeah. I literally could go to my grandparents with a sharp view cam camera.
Yeah.
Other cameras are available. And I could make a better film than The Visit. And they've been dead years. Honestly, I'm not joking. It was the biggest pile of shit I've ever seen. It's not his return to form.
No.
Dog
no,
shit.
No, it isn't.
If that's his return to form, fucking hell. Oh, gosh.
That's
cross it off my list.
Okay. So, brilliant. So, thanks a lot for coming along, Gemma. And so, what are we going to discuss on this episode then? So, what are we reviewing? We're going to review the new film from visionary director Guillermo del Toro, which is Crimson Peak. We're also going to be skipping back in time to 1999. Our topic of conversation this week, Mark, what's our topic?
Well, it was supposed to be the top three death scenes from film.
What do you mean supposed to be? That's what we've all prepared.
Well, I've got to that stage of my life now where I'm a bit like Still Alice and I keep forgetting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was back in episode 4, which is, 27 episodes ago, over a year ago, we did actually cover this.
Yep.
So I completely forgot. But, you guys didn't stop me last time and say, hang on, we've already done this. So I think we're all starting to...
Yeah, it's our
lose
fault.
Track.
It's our fault, Adam, because we didn't stop him.
So me and you, we're supposed to listen to every single episode before Mark comes up with the topic.
Exactly, yeah.
So what we're going to actually replace it with is the top three most overrated movies in our opinion.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. Completely different.
I'm going to need some time to prepare.
And we've also got a rewatch of...
Observe and Report.
And have we all observed and reported that?
I've not reported it yet.
Yes,
I'll report it later.
Indeed, cool. We have observed, observe, and report, and later we shall report on observe and report.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Anything else? Oh, prize giveaway.
We're going to give away a prize. There'll be a whole heap of other malarkey.
Our listeners nowadays just expect a prize giveaway. We seem to be doing it all the time.
It's Tommy Wiseau.
Which I don't like that. I don't like that attitude.
So we're giving away nothing.
We're giving away nothing. You'll get nothing and you'll bloody like it. So, let's get started.
So it's time for the new slightly adjusted topic of the week. Top three most overrated movies of all time in your opinion. Completely different, but hey, Gemma, you're new to this. Go first.
It's going to be on everyone's list, or at least two people's list. Avatar.
It's not on my list.
Whoa.
But it's... When we come to the social media, I think everyone in the world
Brilliant.
Agrees.
It's not on my list purely because I've never seen it, because I expect it to be tripe. So I've just never brought myself to see it.
Don't worry, the expectation is definitely that it's tripe.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. It's, Where do you start with it, really? It's, in my opinion, it was one of those films where it was very hyped up at the time. It was this brand new and innovative 3D film that was just going to be incredible to watch and whoa. It was, in a sense, it was all fur coat and no knickers.
I like that.
Just all visual. The fact that, the source that they were mining for was called unobtainium. You just think, for crying out loud. Completely overhyped, massively overrated. And haha, James Cameron, you didn't get an Oscar for it. Shame.
Probably made a fair few quid off it, though, so
Isn't
I'm sure he's laughing all the way to the bank.
That and Titanic, it's between.
Yeah.
So he's
It annoys me that both the top two highest grossing films of all time are both his. Because I don't think he's that great of a director. He's done a couple of great films 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But I don't get...
Well, Avatar was seen as his return to form, wasn't it?
Really?
Don't worry, you've only got Avatar 2, 3 and 4 coming.
Oh, I can't
What, like 10 years' time? It was essentially just a story about the Smurfs, but they just jazzed up a little bit with the same
Pocahontas meets the Smurfs, everyone. Someone's,
yes.
Isn't it another... There's another film.
Fangully.
It's the exact same story, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Madness.
Dances with Wolves.
Yeah. Same shit.
Yeah. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Massively. And yeah, it was just all the fact that, you know, oh, but look at them. They're really tall. they have day glow lights in their forest. It's like, great, well, survive.
Let me ask you a question, because I might have misread this or just dreamt this. Do they bone with their hair?
Yes, they do.
What's that about?
It's like a plug-in they have. And they plug into their dragons when they fly in.
Yeah, they plug into animals.
So they have like a rudimentary sort of USB port in their bodies.
Yeah.
They plug their braids into.
I like to think that James Cameron was sitting there writing the script, just plugging his USB in and going,
get a boner out of it. Yeah.
Light bulb moment.
I've got an idea.
Christ. Well, that is not on my list of films to watch anytime soon.
What have you got, Ben?
Do you know what? I'm going to slaughter a sacred cow, or should I say, a sacred lion, because The Lion King is my first one.
Take that back!
God damn.
Not allowed.
Can't stand that film. Even as a kid, I remember watching it thinking, this is bullshit.
You were never a kid.
I was a grumpy old man of a kid, but I was still a kid. I don't understand the love for that film. I especially don't love or understand the love that adults have for that film. I can get it. I can understand it if you loved it as a kid, but it's one of those that you should have grown out of. You shouldn't be watching it now in your 20s and 30s because it's ridiculous. It's a terrible, boring story. It's one of those where it's intentionally trying to pull at the heartstrings. It's manipulative, and I can't stand films like that. It's rubbish.
This is, I think he hasn't changed his list since the most memorable deaths. And Lion King would have been perfect. Would have been absolutely spot on. He hasn't bothered changing his list, so we'll go with that.
It's
not overrated. I love The Lion King.
It is overrated. Amazing.
Your justification is basically, if you're an adult, you shouldn't like it.
Correct. Yeah. I'll allow you to enjoy it up until the age of six and a half.
What to you is an adult? Never mind.
Yeah, don't open that can of worms.
Wow. Lion King. So, Adam, have you got any Disney attacks now? Or?
No, I'm going to go with one that I think everyone's going to agree with, Crash.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So bad.
The most overrated part of shite I've ever seen. I understand what they were trying to do with it, but for this film to be so, for it to win Best Picture,
it's ridiculous.
I think we actually spoke about it at the time we did the what should have been nominated over other things. But this film, I watched it purely on the basis that it was a Best Picture. I thought, oh, it must be good. Oh, it's great. Let's take a look. Sat down. I've never been so bored in my life.
Yeah.
It's shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but Adam, weren't you sort of bowled over by this out there message that racism is bad? that crazy, you know, this newfangled concept, did that not blow your mind?
No, because I've always been a good person.
So I remember it had an all-star cast as well to try and like draw people in, and
everybody in the world was on that film.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock.
They were all
shit. Matt Dillon.
I'll put it out there now. The only reason it didn't win, it won Best Picture, is because they didn't want Brokeback Mountain to win it.
They didn't want to give an award to a film about a couple of gay cowboys.
Should've
because
won.
John Wayne and Ronald Reagan would have turned over in their graves.
Yep.
Do you think if one of those cowboys was black, it might have changed things? That's quite political.
If it would have been black and disabled.
Yeah.
Definitely.
One-legged black man and in a tent.
Retarded.
Having sex with another man. That's an Oscar winner right there.
And if one of them had AIDS.
And if it was set during the Holocaust.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Forget Mac and Me Too in the room too. We're making that.
Run it. Brokeback Mountain 2.
In all fairness.
Broke back, leg, arm, head, neck.
Yeah. If he's disabled, then broke back is probably a... Really
Broken Back Mountain, yeah.
Probably the least of his worries.
This is it. We're going to make an Oscar winner. I'm loving it. Our first ever film will be an Oscar winner.
Guaranteed.
On the note of that, my first one didn't win an Oscar, and I think it's not that funny, and people always tell me it's one of the funniest films ever.
Napoleon Dynamite?
No. The Hangover. What is all that about?
Yeah.
Everybody came out of the cinema saying it's one of the funniest films you'll ever see. It got a trilogy.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone ever saw the third one.
I did not.
Terrible film.
I got about halfway through the second one. I was like, no.
It is not
that money that you see. That was mine.
Okay. It isn't that funny. I'm sorry. It's all right. I'm not saying it's not funny, but it isn't as funny as what people are saying. The funniest film in years. And it was all right. It was just
Yeah. Good, sorry. As you would say, Mark, a good beer and pizza movie, you'll have a chuckle, but it's not a film that should have spawned a franchise of movies.
Exactly.
No, certainly not like National Lampoon's Vacation, classic. Apart from the fourth one. That's terrible. Gemma, and that was in Vegas as well, actually. Yeah, sorry, Vegas kills comedies. Yeah. Fact.
I have a friend who absolutely loved The Hangover. He watched that film over and over again. I don't understand how you can watch that film over and over again.
Yeah.
Mm. Surely the whole point is it loses its comedy once you know everything that happens.
Yeah.
There's only so many times you can see Ken Jeong nakedly jumping out of the boot of a car.
Do an exaggerated Asian voice.
Yeah.
And what like,
essentially racially abusing himself.
Which is fine.
No, it's not.
If you abuse yourself, it's allowed.
It's fine.
Gemma, number two.
I'm sticking with the big franchises. I'm going to say Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I agree.
Which one? All of them?
Why not? All of them. I didn't watch the fourth one, but the first one, I was talking to my boyfriend about this today as well, and he really liked it, but I don't get it. I'm sorry. I mean, if you are interested in pirates, more than likely you're 5 years old or a pirate. And it was just a bit overblown for me. I think, you know, Johnny Depp is obviously well known now for Jack Sparrow, but every time I see Johnny Depp, I just think of someone in a stag party dressed up as him.
That's the legacy of that film.
But it was an okay film. I don't think it was genre busting in any way, shape or form. And it was based on a bloody Disney ride as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Disney's had two pastings already.
Good.
I did not endorse the first pasting, can I add?
But Pirates of the Caribbean as well, again, made absolutely millions and millions and millions. It was one of the, I think that was for a while one of the top earners. And I won't lie, I don't mind Johnny Depp in that. Because he's really shitting himself recently doing stuff like Tusk. But it is still not as good as what people make out.
Yeah, he got an Oscar nomination.
And I think they're making the fifth one as we're speaking.
They are.
I've only ever seen the first one.
you shouldn't have to watch the rest.
I thought it was perfectly fine, except for a bit of fluff. But that's as much as I can say for it.
The point's just been made that there's a fifth one in the making at the minute. At what point are you no longer flogging a dead horse? You're just breaking the skeleton.
I don't know.
Cremating it on the sick,
The problem is, the horse isn't dead because people are still paying to see it. And as long as they keep being profitable, they will keep churning them out. That's the problem.
This is on you.
This is on you, listener.
It's on life support. Yeah. That's why it's not dead. They can't bear to turn the button off.
Apparently not.
Right. I want to turn it off.
Let's. Come on.
Soon.
Should we just get Disney to stop?
Yeah. Please. Take over.
Please.
Stop. When we win the Oscar, we'll say on our acceptance speech that we want to now put an end to Pirates of the Caribbean to celebrate.
We'll get music tough, I know it, but let's do it.
And we'll bring a kid with AIDS on stage so people really start listening and start taking notice.
Prosthetic leg.
So it'll be like anti-piracy, but specifically anti-Pirates of the Caribbean.
Absolutely.
Let's do
it. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Not at Disney now. Come on.
No. I'm going to go with the film. Again, it's one that won Oscars, and I can't imagine why. It's a very good film. It's an enjoyable film. But Training Day should not be as popular and as big as it is. And it certainly should not have won an Oscar for Denzel Washington. It's his worst, hammiest, most overblown, scenery-chewing performance.
I agree.
And the only reason why they gave it to him is because they hadn't given it to him before for films that deserved it, like Hurricane.
Yeah,
it was a second place prize. It was an award for effort type prize. Saying, sorry, we should have given it you five times previously. Have this one now for a film that it should not have been anywhere near the conversation for an Oscar, let alone win one.
So why hasn't DiCaprio got one yet?
I know, crazy. He will get his sort of makeup prize eventually. I'm sure.
The Revenant.
And the thing is with that, Ben, like Man on Fire for me is 10 times better, and that didn't get an award. So why don't give it in for that? Give it in for that.
I feel slightly 50-50 because I did enjoy it, but you're right, it isn't as amazing as what people said.
I enjoy it. I can sit down and watch it on TV with a beer and thoroughly enjoy it. That's a good way to spend 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But is it a film that deserved Oscar recognition?
Nope.
Certainly not. Should not have been anywhere near that conversation.
No, and I agree. I mean, there's always the Equalizer too. To get a second
one.
Flight. He was better
in
Flight.
He was very good in Flight. Yeah, he was very good.
I would have been happy if he'd won an Oscar for Flight rather than this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shame. Adam, I'm loving this at the moment. This is really,
really
good.
Good choices.
I'm going to go with a fairly recent one, and I can't understand this because it seems at one point like me and Ben are the only two people in the world that don't like this.
Oh.
From what I've spoken to people about, American Sniper.
Yeah. Shit.
I have not seen this yet.
Good for you.
So many great reviews for it. Mm-hmm. I've seen so... It got nominated for Oscars as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, several, yeah.
But it is one of the worst pieces of trash I've ever seen.
Propaganda.
It's propaganda. The fake baby scene.
Now I have seen
infamous.
That.
It's infamous.
I enjoyed that for the wrong reasons.
I don't understand where the love for this film... Did it just come from America?
I believe so. I don't think it was particularly well praised over here, but in the States it was, because it was a yay America propaganda piece.
But then I've seen loads of people over here who loved it. They're like, oh no, it's really, really intense, really intense. Yeah, it's a true story. It's not a true story.
I bet they were like lads who liked it.
Yeah. They probably were, yeah.
like Blue Wickeds and guns.
Blue Wickeds.
There are other available alcoholic drinks, indeed, of course.
The flavours of Wicked as well.
I haven't seen it.
You've still not seen it?
I didn't bother.
No,
you told me not to waste my time, so I listened to you. You both told me, do not watch it, so I haven't. And I like Clint Eastwood, so it would have kind of tarnished his legacy.
I like Bradley Cooper as well, but it was a shame he was involved in this shit.
The only two reasons, I heard Ben watched it first, he told me not to watch it, he said it was dreadful, and I was like, okay, but I like Clint Eastwood, I like Bradley Cooper, I'll give it a go. But it's not good.
No one's saying they like Sienna Miller.
She's barely in it.
There we go.
It's another example of hiring a famous
a name
female
actress
actor
for a nothing role
to do
shame.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Massive shame.
Yeah.
Right. This is the time it gets a bit controversial.
Oh yeah.
Uh-oh.
Was that a Lion King not controversial?
A lot of people rave about this film, and I think it's overrated. I'm not saying it's a bad film, but it's nowhere near as good as what people say.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Kill Bill. I'm sorry. It
which
isn't
one?
That
one or two?
One. People rave about this film, and this is good, and I'm glad that people love it, but there's a lot better films out there, and he has ripped off a hell of a lot of this, and I'm sorry, but I prefer Zatoichi and stuff like that. When I watch those films, I think that is a much better made film, the story's better. I don't quite buy into it as much. Sorry.
I disagree completely.
That's good. This is what it's about.
I'm with you on that.
Good.
I love the first one. The second one, I think, is rubbish. But I love Kill Bill Part 1.
Nah, people made out it's the best martial arts film. It's one of Tarantino's best. Oh, it goes black and white and all this. The animation. Not bought into it. I've seen a lot better films.
I think rip off is probably a stretch. It's, you know, although it is Tarantino.
A homage.
Yeah, it's homage. And there are a lot of homages in there.
And he admits that. He says, I take inspiration.
Everything he does is a homage.
He's a sponge for all his influences, and then he just regurgitates them. He does that in all of his films.
Don't believe it deserves the hype.
No, I love it. I think it's fantastic. Kill Bill Volume 1 is a masterpiece.
No, not
responsible
a masterpiece.
Responsible for one of the greatest scenes of all time as well. With the bride and Aranishi in the garden.
Oh,
as well.
In the snow.
All in so beautiful. Absolutely.
Nah.
Superb.
He's done much, much better work than this. People always rate
him. But no, we're not saying Tarantino hasn't done better work.
Okay, Kill Bill is not as good as what people make out. My opinion, you three, cool. But I'm saying it is nowhere near as good as what people
he's
say.
He's getting angry.
Yeah.
He's getting upset.
It's not. People loved it. People went crazy for it. It wasn't that good. Move
Fair
on.
Enough.
Next question.
Fair enough.
Okay. In the words of Tommy Wiseau, move on. Next question.
Absolutely.
Yemi, your final one.
It is my final one. I feel like I'm being a bit obvious with my choices, but I really do strongly believe that they are overrated. The Hobbit.
Oh, for sure.
Massively.
Ask Ben.
Again, haven't seen it, but I don't doubt that you're right.
It's just you know, a bunch of little fellas, you know, doing something that the other people in Hobbiton didn't want to do. It's just massively overrated. I think, it's kind of like my first choice, a massive style over substance. They had to draft in Orlando Bloom to kind of get, you know, like, the older people who watched the first Lord of the Rings in on it.
And also to pad out the story to have three films.
Oh, my God.
All about the buns, isn't it?
Unnecessary.
When you look at the size of the complete works of Lord of the Rings and they made three films out of it, and then you look at The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Isn't that one flimsy book?
Yeah, about, what, a centimetre, two centimetres wide?
Yeah, I might as well have done a pamphlet about gonorrhea and put that in three parts. That would have been a lot more entertaining.
And informative.
And in 3D.
Yes. Benedict Cumberbatch doing like a voiceover and like Martin Freeman, every now and again, just quippily looking at a camera like...
It's another one for the developmental slate.
Gonorrhea.
You can have a bit of the credits for that.
Yeah, so
in 3D.
Massively overrated. Sorry, geeks.
I've not seen it. I'm waiting for the third one to come out on the extended, then doing all of them, but probably won't bother.
Talk to me about the frame rate. What's this shit about the frame rate being different so it looks too real?
It didn't look any different.
Did it not? Because I've had people say to me that when they went to see it, it looked cheap. It looked
3D,
like it had been done on a home
fake.
Video.
The 3D in the cinema, first one, it's too... like you can't really keep up with what's going on. Mm. The issue is there's not a lot going on.
Yeah, there isn't.
It's as if they've increased the frame rate to make it seem like things are going quicker and everything's moving, when actually fuck all's happening.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the equivalent of, I don't know, walking to a shop and walking back home again.
Just in a really quick frame.
Yeah. Oh, take
in
my
about
money.
9 hours.
Sign me up.
So, yeah.
I'm not buying into it. Don't try and change technology. 24 frames, all that. Leave it. Just, that's fine. Yeah, yeah. Don't bother.
Yeah.
But I will watch them when they're all... and the extended, because I just want to. So
kind of going to disagree with that as well. Innovate if you need to, you know, try and find something better.
You got to keep pushing forward. Yeah.
But if it's, everyone if it fails, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Cheap and
tacky. Oh, yeah. But if it fails, don't do it again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't then proceed with two more films of it.
No. Yeah. Learn your lesson.
Surely Pete Jackson's got like some of the projects lined up.
Peter Jackson.
Yeah. Pete Jackson.
Pete Jackson is a completely different kettle of fish.
That's
he's working
shame.
On Predator remake.
Peter Jackson. Sorry. Sorry.
Ben, final.
This one will not surprise you. Any of you who know me or have listened to this show, it's Forrest Gump. God almighty. Not only is it the most overrated film of all time, it's one of the worst films of all time in my personal opinion. I think it's saccharine garbage. It's like the Lion King again. Manipulative, trying to pull at the heartstrings. You know, this lovely story about a div who stumbles into all these historic moments. It's stupid. It's bullshit. It's annoying.
Say what you really think. Please. I want to know the truth.
I can't abide it. And it's encapsulates everything that was wrong with that period of Tom Hanks's work, when he just did Oscar bait shite like that. Prior to that, when he did Joe versus the Volcano and The Burbs, he was ace. And Big, he was ace. Since then, when he's doing really good films again, he's ace again. But there was that period, about 10 years, where he just did this Oscar bait shit, that in Philadelphia and whatnot.
Yeah.
I couldn't abide any of it. But this was the worst of it. Forrest Gump is the single most overrated film in the history of celluloid. Deal with it.
Bring back Turner and Hooch 2.
Yeah. Sorry,
you just want to drop a mic there.
I'm out of here. We don't need to hear you go on anymore about how much you hate that film. But one day, I'm going to say it now, we're going to do that as a rewatch. I'm just telling you now, it might be a year, it might be 2 years, but I'm going to punish you.
Magic legs.
Adam.
This is going to come as a shock to all of you.
Mm-hmm. Dark Knight.
This is fourth on IMDb's top 250 of all time.
Oh, man. It was the days fourth. Of the rating game.
Hold on. Let me see if I can guess. Okay. Let me see if I can guess. Shawshank, I think he's number one.
Star
I think it's
Wars
something
is
like
two,
Godfather.
I think like Seven Samurai is number two.
Is it Godfather?
Let's go Godfather.
Yeah.
Nope.
Ah, shame.
This is in my top five films of all time.
And
Whoa.
it's also your most
Whoa.
Overrated film.
But the reason I love it is because I love comic books.
Right.
And I love Batman. But it's The Dark Knight.
Holy moly. Mark, you nailed it.
This is
I love this
game
film.
Changer.
Absolutely. Absolutely love this film. It is one of my favourite films of all time. But it should not be rated as highly as it is by everyone.
Okay.
As far as it goes, it's a standalone film. It isn't that good.
Mm.
If you look at it as
one piece of work,
this should not be in the top 10 of the 250 movies of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
It's in my personal top five because of my love of Batman, because of my love of comics. But it should not be widely known, under consciousness, as one of the greatest films of all time in the top 10.
I think that's a fair point. And I think the reason why it's so high in the IMDb is because more recent, more modern films tend to be high in the IMDb list because people are more likely to vote for them in the modern age. Yeah. And then a film that's as successful and as many people who went to see it and thoroughly enjoyed it doesn't necessarily mean that it is a better film than Star Wars or The Godfather or what have you, or Jaws. It just means it's more popular at that time.
Yeah.
It's like half of the IMDb top 50. You see, like what, Inside Out was
it's like
in there?
68.
Yeah, Inside
Out, isn't it? Yeah.
Interstellar. Which is both new and shit.
But I looked at it and I just thought, I've got to put it in there because...
Crazy.
People rate this film so highly, mm-hmm. and I love it for my own reasons, and people love it for their own reasons. But if you're collectively looking at the top 250 films of all time, it gets a place in there, but not top 10.
Plus, that's to drop it down, that scene up the wall, that's enough.
Plus, give that film to someone who knows nothing about Batman and hasn't seen Batman Begins.
Yeah.
They'd be rather confused, I would think.
Indeed.
Yeah. It's a fair point, Adam. I'm surprised, but it's a fair point.
Wow.
Always trying to shock you.
My final one, this is kind of just a bit of bait to wind Ben up, but I'm going to go with it. I think there's certain comedies out there that are funny. There's definitely ones that are funnier. Don't say Napoleon Dynamite. One of the most overrated comedies, in my opinion, Anchorman.
Idiot.
You're just wrong. Get out.
So far, you've gone Kill Bill.
Yeah, which I agree.
Which I
strongly believe.
And now Anchorman.
I don't think Anchorman is as funny in the ways. It's a good film. I like it like you do with The Dark Knight. But people tell me it's the funniest film ever made. And it isn't for me.
You're a wanker, man.
Will Ferrell's good in it. Farrell. I think it's a
Ferrell.
Ferrell. And Farrell, his brother.
Yeah, because brothers have different surnames.
I don't think it is as funny as what people make out, especially you two that wank off on it every single week. It is funny. It is a good comedy, but it's nowhere near one of the funniest comedies ever made.
That doesn't even make sense.
don't need to argue with you. You made yourself look a fool.
I was going to say the Harry Potter films, but I didn't want an absolute war online. Talking about online, do you want to hear what they said?
Yeah.
There's some good people out there. Junk Culture has put American Hustle. His theory is the wig is the best thing in the whole film.
I disagree. I love that film.
I like it too.
M has put Citizen Kane, Forrest Gump, and Titanic, which I thought one of you guys were going to say.
It was fourth on my list, I'll be honest.
Ray has put Avatar.
Yes.
Whole world said. I'm not going to read out everyone that said Avatar because it was everyone.
Love to you all.
Box Office Life has put Shawshank. Very good, but not the greatest film ever made. And again, it's an IMDb. Yeah. Everything. And it isn't as good as the best film ever made.
I would agree. I absolutely love Shawshank Redemption, but is it the greatest film ever made? Nah, definitely not.
Midnight Smoke put Avatar. Took four times to watch it. It sucked. The visuals are good, but it bloody sucks. And it's true. If you take the 3D away and just buy it on 2D
and there
Blu-ray,
are parts of it that are
it's literally the Smurfs.
Boring.
Yeah. Massively, yeah.
Elo at Honourable_Elo, Forrest Gump, Sixth Sense. People did go crazy for that, and I like the twist, but it isn't
people
as good
did
as what people
go crazy for it, though.
And Chef put Boring.
Chef?
Yeah.
The new
John
one.
The
new
Favre,
one,
yeah.
That was like a food porno for me, just watching all this amazing food being made.
I didn't think enough people had seen it for it to be overrated. Overrated by who?
Exactly.
The guys on Netflix. Yeah. Jack Lee has put Interstellar, Dark Knight, Rises, and 2001 A Space Odyssey. Mm-hmm. J. Cole's Goonies, no way. No way. It's a Wonderful Life. People go crazy for that, and that isn't one of the best ones ever made.
I'm in the minority. I really like that.
I like it.
Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yes.
Thomas Round, Inception.
No, go away.
This is Skyfall.
Yeah, and, I agree on Skyfall.
And Drive.
I disagree on
Drive.
That.
Drive's amazing.
Yep.
The interesting thing about the older films, like Citizen Kane and It's a Wonderful Life, is people don't look at them as a work that was done in its time.
At the time, yeah, you're right.
And Citizen Kane is Tommy Wiseau's favourite film of all time.
Must be good then.
And the very final one, John Barnes has actually put...
John Barnes?
John Barnes.
Brooks, even. John Barnes. He's off doing... He's not doing Match of the Day.
I thought we had a celebrity listener then.
He's going to get lambasted by Ben for this. Blade Runner.
What the... right.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Blair Witch, that makes up for it.
It doesn't. He's right, but it doesn't make up for what he said first.
He said, please tell Ben I'm sorry. And 2001 Space Odyssey. But he thinks Blade Runner is overrated.
He's wrong. And I don't accept his apology.
And you're going to be, and you're going to be blocked on Twitter.
Yeah, but in all fact, how many caps have you got for England?
Let's hear you rap for England.
Yeah. With New Order.
Yeah. Can we put that song in? We've got to put it in now.
We'll have a snippet. You got to hold the gift, but do it at the right time. You can be slow or fast, but you must get to the line. They'll always hit you and hurt you. Right, next week's topic. Is it... Who is it? It's Adam.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And we're not going to change it this time after a few days.
No, we're not. So, interesting one. And Gemma, please send yours in for next week. Mark collects all the social media, so blame him if you don't get read out.
Well, he'll get your name wrong, even though he knows you.
Yeah, Emma from...
I've decided that I wanted to do something a bit interesting. So we've gone for overrated films this week. Mm-hmm. I want to go with your worst three plot twists in a movie.
Can we just name three Shyamalan?
Because I had a chat with someone recently who was talking about The Prestige and how they hate The Prestige.
Idiot.
Because of the supernatural element that kind of twists into it towards the end. So, I want your worst three plot twists.
I think that's a great idea.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Nice.
Let's do that then. We've been been to our local View cinema to see Crimson Peak, the new film from visionary director Guillermo del Toro. I guess you'd call it a sort of gothic horror period drama hybrid, starring Mia Wasikowska. I don't know if that's how you pronounce her name, but that's how I do it.
I was going to go Wachowski, but I'm just thinking Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, that'll do. And Jessica Chastain, Tom Hiddleston and Charlie Hunnam. And it was an interesting piece. I'm going to throw it right out to Adam. I want to know Adam's instant thoughts.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at the fact that you described Crimson Peak as a period drama. It certainly sounds like a period drama, doesn't it?
I'm just grateful I didn't have to do that introduction. Trying to announce the director and some of those cast. We've been to see a film today with that guy with the beard.
I thought it looked brilliant.
Yes.
But meh.
Yes.
Agreed.
Mark?
I'm not going to mention the girl's name, but it was like a date I had at uni. Looked unreal. Got there, amazing. But when I actually got down to it, it was dreadful.
Degrading.
This is more about his performance.
Degrading to women, which I hate.
I thought it was going to be a lot better. And style of substance.
For me, you know, it was never going to be for me because I don't like period dramas, nor do I care for horror films in general. So it was never going to be great. But that said, it was dreadful. Dreadful, absolute shit.
I don't think you're going to go on a hate thing here.
It was one of the worst films I've seen.
Really?
It's probably the worst film I've paid to see this year.
Wow.
More than
I knew you'd hate it because it's horror. You generally hate that anyway
because it's tedious and boring.
How many sections of that film? There were sections where I was, honestly, I'm not even joking, falling asleep.
Oh, ditto. The first sort of half of it, or first sort of two-thirds, my eyelids were drooping because there was nothing happening.
Yeah. Genuinely falling asleep. I found myself sat there at one point, my eyes closed, about to drift off, and oh shit, no, I need to review this.
Yeah. It could have had about half an hour chopped.
Yeah.
It was 2 hours, hour and a half, that would have been all right. It was not going to be an hour and a half beer and pizza. Visually, he is one of the most talented filmmakers out there. Uh-huh. There's nobody that spends that much time on set design, the costumes, the makeup. It is an absolute work of genius.
Shame he doesn't spend time on the script.
Yeah, but the script isn't there. Yeah. And to be fair, the acting was good, but it was just, I wasn't interested. It didn't buy into me.
The worst, most bland performance I've seen Jessica Chastain give. And I think she's a phenomenal actress.
Yeah.
But she was so bland in this. And I think part of that was the fact that she was trying to do an English accent poorly, I might add. And when you're concentrating too much on doing an accent that's not your own, you're not concentrating on acting. Yeah. And I think that let her down. There was no, other than the last sort of 10 minutes of the film, there was nothing really about it. We've not said what the film's about, so I guess we should do. Mia Wasikowska plays a young woman whose father is rich. He then dies in certain circumstances that you can see if you watch the film. She then inherits his money. Because she's wealthy, was going to inherit all this money, Tom Hiddleston and his sister, played by Jessica Chastain, want to bring her over to their stately manor in England so they can basically kill her and nick her money. That's really the plot, isn't it? That's exactly it. So other than the sort of tail end of the film when shit gets gory, that's the only time Chastain wakes up. The rest of the film, she was sleepwalking through it, and I just found the whole thing very dreary.
As well, was that Charlie Hunnam?
Yeah.
Right, now, you said that Jessica Chastain's accent was bad. Charlie Hunnam's accent, another story. And he's notorious for doing crap accents.
Who did he play?
Charlie Hunnam was the doctor who comes and tries to save her.
I thought that was Heath Ledger.
Brilliant.
Genuine.
As he is now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I put as my note? I put my note here. Was that Chesney Hawkes? I honestly thought it was. He had the mole, the same mole and the same hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the same initials as well.
Yeah, I was thinking, is that him?
Yeah. I thought he was Irish.
Not even Irish.
He sucks at accents, you know.
Yeah, he's bad.
Charlie Hunnam, he's from Newcastle, I believe, Charlie Hunnam. But
Chesney
Hawkes. I'm serious.
I don't think that's
true. Never seen him in the same room.
But he did 7 seasons of Sons of Anarchy, and over 7 years, never got his American accent right. He's always.
Yes, in Green Street as well.
Yes,
brilliant.
Shame.
Oh yeah, the film. Sorry, yeah, the film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was just really like the first half was so long and so unnecessary. I don't really give a monkey's what that contraption was all about because it didn't really play into apart from the house was
the
bleeding
thing.
But it was just, but I mean I can obviously see that was a bit of a Hammer horror homage to the bleeding house and the bleeding walls, but I couldn't really give a monkey's about what he's up to.
Yeah, there's all this, they live on Crimson Peak, the house, or Allerdale Hall, or whatever it's called, is on top of a clay mine. And the clay, when it's raw, the ore is bright red and it comes up through the snow and it looks like the hill is bleeding, hence the name Crimson Peak. So, yeah, as you say, it was an homage to those sort of Bleeding Walls things from Amara. But, yeah, it just didn't factor in. It didn't matter. It was just an interesting visual, which is the case for the whole film. Like you said, Mark, the production design was phenomenal. The actual look of the hall was superb.
Really beautiful.
And all the effects on the ghosts were great as well. Yeah. But that's it. And the ghosts were my biggest issue. There was a thing in the film that was so self-referential that it made me want to puke. Mia Wasikowska's character is a writer in the film, and she's written a ghost story, and she goes to give it to a publisher, and the publisher says, oh, it's a ghost story, is it? And she says, no, it's not a ghost story, it's just a story with ghosts in, which it turns out so is Crimson Peak. Because there are ghosts in it, but they have no relevance to anything. They don't do anything.
Nope.
And there's a crappy little bit of exposition midway through the film where Mia and Charlie's characters are talking to each other, and he says something like, only some people can see ghosts, not all of them. And she's kind of like, yeah, I'm one of them. That's basically the whole thing. You get the point that she can see ghosts. No fucker else can. Pardon my French.
It's Sixth Sense Part 2. She's a female Bruce Willis. Spoilers. But yeah.
But it's pointless. Yeah, her being able to see these ghosts. All they do is serve for her to realise, oh, people died in this house. That's it. Mm-hmm. It didn't need to be a ghost story.
And they weren't. And I love horror, but there was no scary point at all. It was a bit of a point, you know, with obviously the...
The dagger in the cheek.
Yeah! Oh my God,
that
was
really face.
Graphic.
You did jump at that.
I did jump at that. I went, oh, God. But there's also another bit where I went, oh my God, which, should we just say
this
it?
Might be my note too.
Is it?
Is it the sex scene? Did you think of Tommy Wiseau's bum?
I did!
And it's thrusting.
Yeah,
his bum.
You see Hiddleston's arse. Yeah,
it's like
down.
He's going straight for the belly button.
I was literally like, Tommy could literally completely sue because his arse cheeks were doing the whole movement.
Yeah, he would out-sex Loki any day.
Yeah.
I love the idea of Tommy Wiseau suing Guillermo del Toro on the basis that Tom Hiddleston's arse looked a bit too much like his arse.
Sorry, are we missing a point here in which we can remake this entire film? Replacing Tom Hiddleston with Tommy Wiseau.
Mate. Oh my God, the hair's already there.
Yeah.
Sold.
Definitely. I think I am in love with you.
That would be good. The ghost of Lisa.
I have learned more in this conversation about this film than watching it.
Really?
I was bored.
Yeah.
I mean, the fight scene right at the end was pretty good.
It took too long to get there, didn't it? We had like an hour and 50 minutes for then 10 minutes of really good action and fight and blood. And like, where was this an hour ago?
Yeah.
Do you know what I was thinking throughout the start of the film? Do you remember a TV show called Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman?
Dr. Quinn?
I heard of it.
Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. For anyone out there.
Jane Seymour, right?
Yeah. And she was like a frontiers woman. And, you know, and that's what the opening stuff in America reminded me of. And it was like watching a shit drama on a Sunday afternoon on ITV.
With Alice in Wonderland and Loki.
Yeah. There to class up the joint a little bit. But it was so dire and so dull. Mm. And one of the things that really annoyed me is I noticed there was quite a lot of post-production dubbing.
Yes,
on their voices. And sometimes, sometimes what was coming out of their mouths was not what their lips were doing.
When they were hugging and her mouth was going.
Yeah, it didn't match. It was really poorly
done. I was thinking it's this projector light out of sync. Is this cinema like what? But not good.
No, not good at all.
Shouldn't be doing that on these massive multi-million pound budgets.
No.
Get it right.
No.
We get it right. You get it right. One of my notes here, this is how literally my notes were. Chesney Hawke's lookalike, Tommy's arse, and then... How good does snow and blood look together? Like in Fargo.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It is though, isn't it?
Or like in the scene in Kill Bill in the snow.
It's a bit overrated, but yeah. But I just love blood and snow.
It's gorgeous together.
It reminds me of the days when you used to get a Mr. Frosty and you used to get the strawberry flavour and put it on top and it's the one that really showed up.
Yeah, it was
really cool. Yeah.
But Mark used to get his Mr. Frosty, kill someone.
Yeah.
It's like Fargo though.
It is.
Blood and
it
snow,
was.
We need more of it.
It creates a great effect.
It really does, it looks good. And again, we're just going back to what we've already said, the film looked bloody good.
And there's not many films this year that look as good.
No.
Bloody good.
No pun intended. No pun intended. Brilliant.
So I think it's more Crimson Week than Crimson Peak.
Oh. Nice, look at that.
Nice.
This is it. King come again.
Yeah.
The problem is about this is there's just not a lot to say. Like I like to talk and break down the characters and stuff. I thought Loki did pretty well.
It was alright.
He was pretty good. I thought he was pretty cool. Looked good.
I found him dull.
Yeah.
I just thought his character was bland.
He didn't have a lot to do.
Exactly. None of them had anything to work with.
That's a shame, really.
I thought you were going to love this.
I thought
in the car on the way back, I said, Gemma's going to love this.
Mm. Well, I think I remember saying to you, few weeks back, the more I see of it, the less excited I am for it.
I'm disappointed because I wanted to be genuinely scared, because if you look at the past of Guillermo del Toro's films, like Pan's Labyrinth, the monsters are now frightening, with the dude with the eyes and the hands. Yeah. Absolutely terrifying. And I wanted to be scared. I wanted to have that moment where I jumped. And I was still waiting for it. I think it was when the lights came out. I was like, oh, Christ, is that what everyone looks like? Woo!
I would like him to get involved in someone else's work now. So he will direct, which he's... There's not many directors as good as this. There's not anyone that can make a film as visual. But let someone else write him a story or give him a script.
Oh.
Just let's see that happen.
I disagree, because the man's a visionary and you should never inhibit a visionary. He should be free to do whatever he wants to do, and he's going to have misses. He will have hits, he will have misses. I love Pacific Rim. I think that's a hit all the way.
It's a masterpiece.
It's a superb film.
It is.
I love Pan's Labyrinth. But then this is him trying something new, going down a different avenue, and he missed. He's had hits and he's had a miss. I want him to keep swinging for the fences, keep writing his own shit, keep directing his own shit. Some will be great, some won't, but keep trying.
And that's the thing, because he'll take... the good part, I've full confidence in him. It will take the good parts of this and adapt it to something better.
Yeah.
Gothic horror is brilliant as well. When it's done right, it's done right. I mean, you just look at any of the back catalogue of Hammer Horror.
He'll do that.
Do you not think he might have already peaked at his career? No, but that's a genuine question. Do you think he might have?
No.
Do you think that Pacific Rim was his big budget, I can do this, but then the Pan's Labyrinth is the smaller budget? Do you think there's nothing else he can really do?
I think, you know, in 3 years' time, he'll do a Western and it'll be amazing. Or 5 years' time, he will do a sci-fi film and it'll blow everything
Hellboy
out of the water.
4.
Yeah, you know.
Three.
I still have great faith that he's going to do brilliant, brilliant things. But because he's such a guy who swings, goes for the home run every time, you're going to miss sometimes, and that's just the way it is.
I'm hoping he takes some of this and adapts it to Hellboy 3.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
How good was the sets, though?
Yeah.
I want to go to that building. He spends years looking for these mansions and places.
Stunning.
And that was unreal.
Yeah.
Absolutely unreal.
Even like down in the basement where you've got like those vats of red clay that look like blood as well.
And how good does the snow look when it was all coming down? It looked so good.
Yeah, but just from the hole in the roof.
Yeah, it looked really good.
But we're now at the point where we've gone back to the production for the fourth time in this discussion.
Find
so are we
things.
At the point where we should just rate the
thing?
Because I don't think there's much more we're going to say.
Let's do it, yeah.
Gemma.
4 out of 10.
Wow.
It's same for me.
4 out of 10.
Same for me.
3.
Wow. Bang in the middle, 5. So it's about 4.
So it's 4 overall. Yeah.
Not the best rating, but...
No. Crimson Peak, 4 out of 10. Yikes.
Hey, should we reveal now what we're doing on the next episode?
Yes.
Go for it. What are we doing? That little small film?
I think
that little small budget?
Spectre, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah. New James Bond. Gotta be.
Ba-da-do.
Ba-da-ba-da-da.
That music can only indicate one thing. You know what it is? Prize giveaway. But before we give away another prize, we said we wouldn't, we're going to. We've got the winner to announce on probably the greatest prize that's ever been given away on any podcast in the world ever.
I'm jealous.
We are giving away some Tommy Wiseau pants. I'm not joking, they're unbelievable. They are clean. They're straight from America.
And what we mean by that is it's the pants that he sells through his company. Yeah, it's not his underpants that he's donated.
Because I'd be keeping them.
No.
Now, we asked people to send in who they would cast to play him, well, the character Johnny, on, was it, did we say on the film of the disaster artist?
Yeah, the film of the disaster artist, yeah.
And we've had Garrett McGuinness has sent in a picture of Sean Penn with long hair. And it is a masterpiece of a picture. So we're going to tweet that out.
Yeah.
And we're going to send you the boxes, Garrett. And we hope to see a picture online soon in those boxes. Yeah? Everyone happy with that?
I just wish I was a man right now.
So do I. Anyway. And on that note, we've also got some Crimson Peak incredible leather notebooks and pens to give away.
They look good.
Now, to win this...
Do they look as good as the film, Ben?
They look visually incredible.
They look as good
they
as
do.
The film looks, yeah.
Really, like, really cool. Like, these are, you know, if you put one on eBay, they'd sell for loads. But no, they are
don't
joking.
Don't do that, though. No,
to win this, Gemma.
Hi.
I think the question should be, you just picked up on there's a character on Pan's Labyrinth with the hands.
Mm-hmm, there
you
is.
Let us know on Twitter or Facebook the actual name of that character. Yeah?
I think
Does that
so.
Seem fair?
I think that's
People
fair.
Should know that.
Absolutely.
And we'll reveal the winner on episode 32 in 2 weeks' time?
Yeah.
Bonza.
Cool. Good luck with that.
It's that time of the show where we're skipping back in time, and this time we're going to skip back like it's 1999.
So now we're going to party like it's 1999.
Oh, we're in the 90s.
Come on.
Please,
this is so good.
Please. End it.
I'm not sorry.
1999, this is good. We're in the 90s now. Things are getting serious. It's one step closer to the 80s.
I know, right?
It's getting good.
I'm going to throw it out there. I think that at least two of us will have the same one.
That's such a prediction.
If not three.
Yeah.
The Phantom Menace?
Do you know what, Gemma?
Definitely not Phantom Menace.
You can pick who you want to throw it to.
Okay.
As you're the guest.
Okay, let's go Mark.
Wow. I'm going to go with Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia.
Wow.
Awesome
great
film.
Pick.
Because it is an absolute masterpiece. It's my favourite Paul Thomas Anderson's film, but it's the ending, which was absolutely perfection. Raining frogs. Mm-hmm. What else do you need in the world?
So weird.
But also, just the multiple different plots that come together as one story, and I think it's done perfectly. It could go so wrong. Mm-hmm. Exactly. This is the good version of Crash. And what is so good about this film is Tom Cruise is good in it.
Yeah.
That's rare. Yeah.
Respect the cock.
Yes. But what a different character. Yeah. And for the fact that he agreed to do this film at that point of his career, when he was still doing all these lovey-dovey films and he was doing all this not-so-good films. He was, wasn't he? He would never have done this and agreed to be this complete and utter arsehole.
Yeah.
And he did it so bloody well.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
And I loved him for it. And I love this whole... The music is incredible to this film. The soundtrack itself is... I bought it. It's absolutely incredible. The directing is perfect. There's not one bad performance in it. And for me at the moment, unless he brings something else out, Paul Thomas Anderson's best film, in my opinion.
It's a big shout. But
I absolutely love Magnolia. It's a bit long, so don't watch it.
It's
late
long.
At night.
It's 3 hours on, isn't it?
But the payoff's there when it's an actually
it is.
Good film.
It is so good.
I love John C. Reilly as the cop who loses his gun.
Brilliant. How good is he in that? He's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And he wasn't that big at the time.
Yeah.
So good.
Did he do, not John C. Reilly, director, do Boogie Nights as well?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Oh.
Another awesome.
So do you know what I mean? There was so much to choose from. This was one of the years when I was looking for ages getting it down there. But I want to give it the credit it deserves, and it does stand out as that film that I will still watch now, and I still can't believe it's like 16 years old.
God, that's frightening.
It's brilliant.
That's frightening.
Absolutely brilliant.
It's usually your skip back choices piss me off. They infuriate me most weeks, but this one I can't agree with you more. Well, I can't agree with you more because I've got a different one. But I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Good.
Good shout.
Gemma, who do you want to pick next?
Let's go, Adam.
So, as a bit of a hark back to Gemma's last time on the podcast, my choice is one by director Frank Dipadou.
Blast from the past.
Frank Darabont's The Green Mile.
Good choice.
Stunning film.
Well done.
Great film. Michael Clarke Duncan as John Coffey. Mm-hmm. I've spoken about this film at length before because it was in my top five. Unfortunately, it got removed during our year anniversary. So I feel like I should show it some love now.
Yeah.
This is for a 3 hour long film, this does not feel like a slog at all.
Yeah.
This goes by very quickly for me. When I sit down and watch it, the time flies. The acting performances from Tom Hanks, Darabont's adaptation of Stephen King is generally brilliant every time he does it.
Yeah.
And none more so here. I mean, people talk about The Shawshank being his best adaptation. For me, it's this.
I agree with that one, actually, yeah.
This made me read the book, the series of books, and I couldn't love it more.
I think a lot of his adaptations have been absolutely utter shit, in my opinion. That's the truth. I think Firestarter didn't like, it's all right, but a lot of his films haven't really worked. When you said Green Mile, I was like, that is the one. I agree.
Well, it's like Adam says, it's Darabont who makes them work. Yeah, or the directors.
Yeah,
and
they just can't do it. They really do. Mm. They don't fuck it up, they mess it up.
Of course, he was responsible for The Walking Dead as well.
Yeah.
He adapted the CV. Mm-hmm. He knows how to do it. He just has this magic touch.
Yeah.
I mean, he did The Mist as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
which she nailed. Do you know one performance on that film that people always forget and I think is as good as any? Sam Rockwell as that absolute
oh
nutter.
My God, yes.
With
yes.
the whole...
The moon pie.
Wild, the chocolate.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's brilliant in that.
He just... Everyone in that plays... There is no detractor from that film. Everyone does their role to the point in which it adds to the film.
Yeah.
And there are so many cases in these big films like this where you just have one or two actors that sort of take away a bit.
Yeah.
And this doesn't. And that's why it has to be up there for me.
Yeah, it is a good film. It's another good choice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless anyone, you both need to choose films over 3 hours as well. If you notice, there's a running theme here. So, that's Ben.
I'm pretty sure mine's not, but I don't think you'll be surprised by my choice. It's Fight Club.
Yeah.
Yep.
God damn, I love that film. I didn't see it when it first came out. The first time I saw Fight Club was quite a few years after it was already on TV by this point, and I was hospitalised for reasons I won't get into, but I was stuck in a hospital bed for a week with whatever crap was on the little TV device they dangled in front of me, and I saw Fight Club for the first time, and it was the one thing that brightened up my interminable stay in hospital. And since then, I've watched it dozens and dozens of times. The performances from Ed Norton and Brad Pitt are phenomenal. The direction from Fincher is untouchable. The twist ending, if you like, you probably do see it coming. I think most people tend to see it coming, but it still works. It still hits with a bang. It's just a flawless, phenomenal, enjoyable film.
See, I was going to pick Fight Club, but I want to respect the rules, and we do not discuss Fight Club. Sorry, dude.
Yeah,
I remember seeing that. I actually saw that in the cinema, and I came out, and I needed to sit down for sort of half an hour and just kind of digest what had just happened. Mm. Unbelievable.
It's just chaos, isn't it? That it whole is. Film it is chaos.
I was actually in the hospital bed next to Ben.
Fighting him.
No, I saw the film again, sort of probably 2004, maybe 2005 time, so quite a while after it came out. And it was one of those films that when I sat down and watched it, I thought, how have I not seen this before?
Yeah.
And then I realised I was 11 when it came out. That's how I've not seen this film before.
A little interesting fact about this film, which will make you laugh. If you ever buy the DVD of this, when you put DVD on and the menu comes on, Never Being Kissed comes on. And everyone was taking the DVDs back. So I used to work at Virgin Megastore and people were bringing it back. Yeah. It was a joke that you got the wrong film. So it says Never Being Kissed. And you're like, what? And you push play and Fight Club starts.
See,
if you bought
brilliant.
The DVD...
Whilst that's an amusing joke, but the amount of chaos and hassle, yeah. just the sheer hassle that caused to thousands of people, it wasn't worth the
gag. It caused
the
chaos like the film. I had people blowing up buildings. And it was crazy. We've never had to work a shift like that at Virgin. But other record shops are available. Well, they're not.
Not anymore.
They're not.
Not
Spotify's killed
our
them all.
Price.
Yeah, cheers, Spotify. Do we care what Gemma thinks?
I think we probably should now she's here.
Oh, you guys. I didn't go for any one of those. I went for this film because when I watched this in 1999 and I really enjoyed it, and I do actually still enjoy it. I don't know what you guys might think about it, but my choice is Human Traffic. It's a British film and it depicts a group of friends in Cardiff basically going on a night out in a nightclub, taking drugs and just basically partying till about 7-8 o'clock in the morning. It has Danny Dyer in it, John Sim, and it has a very young Andrew Lincoln as well.
It's a great film.
Yeah. You lost me at Danny Dyer.
No one knows what I'm talking about. But basically, it was just at that time, I was never really into dance music, but at that time, dance music was everywhere. You have, I think there's even a cameo by a few DJs in there, like Carl Cox. But it was at that time, it was depicted how, you know, sort of kids or teenagers going out in the clubs, that's how they were sort of living their life. And there's so many metaphors in that film as well, which I think works really well, and it's a very quirky film, but I really enjoyed it, and I thought I'd be a little bit different and not choose Fight Club.
I haven't seen this film. I don't even think I've heard of it.
It's
I've heard of it because I'm a big fan of John Sim.
Yes.
As an actor.
Yeah.
But I've never actually seen it. Mm. I've seen stuff like 24 Hour Party People, but I've never seen Human
He's
Traffic.
He's brilliant in it. Yeah. And that was the first sort of real, because I was too young to watch The Lakes in the late 90s. It was the first thing that I got introduced to John Sim to. I loved him. He's so lovable in this, and you really root for him, even though he's taking drugs, which is bad, by the way. It's a fun film. It's a really fun film, and the way how they sort of describe certain situations. I mean, Howard Marks comes in, who's a very famous
stoner.
Yeah, basically, and he depicts about getting stoned and sort of the meaning behind it. And Star Wars is referenced to taking drugs as well. It's a very quirky little link with that. But I really liked it. I thought it was a very cool little film, British, and I don't think the guy's made as big of a director. I think Julian Kempel or something along the lines.
Did he go up end up just doing drama for the BBC?
Pretty much, yeah. Just like really small films, and this was sort of his one big moment that he had. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
I will check it out.
It's good.
So shall we skip to the end and popcorn heart. Do not condone the use of drugs.
No. Drugs are bad, okay.
In the week. Okay. So we went to social media. Twitter people have come back. Michael Salamore has put Fight Club, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. He respects the rules.
Yeah. Well, he just did. Yeah. He still said it, though.
Joey Data Owen, it rhymes with Blanton Blennis. Don't know what that is.
Crantum Crennis, of course.
Kylan and Ken have put Green Mile, one of the best adaptations, which is good. This is a film I've not seen, and you guys are probably going to shout at me for this. Colt 45 have put Boondock Saints.
I've never seen it either.
It's actually a good film.
I really want to see it. It's on the list of I need to watch this.
The director is an absolute arsehole. There's a documentary about this guy, Shane, I think his name's Shane Duffy or something like that, but he's an absolute prick.
That bad?
Yeah.
We've had Jimmy Burge with South Park the movie, # Uncle Fucker.
Yes!
Good film.
Don't like swearing. Guardian 452, Toy Story 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Although, yeah. No, why am I even saying although? It's brilliant. Yay! No.
At Things I Found, this is a great film.
Okay.
Office Space.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Film. And finally, Paul Dawson, the guy does all the art for us. He agrees. Green Mile.
Cheers, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So next episode, we're going to be visiting 1998.
Indeed.
Anyone had a quick peek at it?
I have.
Is it good?
It's a good year. Our rewatch this week is Observe and Report, a film about a mall cop. That's familiar. But it's a very different film to the documentary that we saw last time around, yeah. Of course. So this film stars Seth Rogen as the mall cop in question. And he's a very odd fellow with bipolar disorder. And it's about him dealing with a flasher in the mall where he works and his desire to become a police officer. And I've not sold it at all well there. I've sound it made it sound really dreary. Now, normally when we do a rewatch, more often than not, rewatches aren't rewatches anymore. They're just watches because it's often films we haven't seen. This is a film I have seen and I chose this specifically because I love it and I think it's a vastly underrated film. Now, Mark, I want to throw it out to you first because this film was written and directed by Jodie Hill. So I'm intrigued to see your thoughts, first of all, on Observe and Report.
I bloody love this film.
Yay!
Yeah, it was. I'm not sure. I don't know if I can give it as much credit as I want to because we've been watching such shit lately.
Yeah.
Any film that wasn't shit would have been just good for that. We haven't had to watch something with a budget of £4.62. But put it on, and there's this man streaking and just running up to people, just flashing. And I was like, what has Ben given me?
And
like,
you see it all.
What are you
see
doing?
It all.
And you see the you know, you see the meat and the veg.
Sunday roast dinner.
It reminds me a bit like Bottom when there's that guy at the camping episode. And I was like, what has Ben given me? But I was hooked.
That's all it takes. It got me. That's all it takes.
It got
for
me.
You.
And I was laughing a lot. And I didn't realise how many cool little characters were in it.
Yeah.
So the Indian chap that's on...
Aziz Ansari.
How
Parks
hilarious is he? I love
funny.
That guy.
I love
so
the,
good.
The exchange, the F-U's.
Oh, fuck, you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. But yeah, I was laughing my ass off at it all the way through. I love the fact that we actually got Kenny Powers in the film as well.
Yeah, briefly as the drug dealer.
Of Danny McBride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was kind of thinking throughout the film he would have been good as well as the main cop.
Yeah, I think he would have been great as the main character that was played by Seth Rogen.
And the whole scene with the being on drugs and getting the skateboard and smashing that guy around the head.
That's so funny.
I spat my drink out laughing because it was done so well.
Yeah, because you don't think, like, oh, they're just having a laugh. Yeah. Christ, they're shooting up.
Yeah, because his buddy Dennis says to him, says, I'm not going to lie to you, there's nothing good about this at all. And it cuts to him shooting up heroin.
It's so good. Pretty dark.
It's
very dark.
Just a bit.
Yeah. I couldn't get over how dark it was, but it works.
It's so good, isn't it?
It works.
I think it was that film that has just really been under the radar. Mm-hmm. And like Absolutely. You said, because that documentary came out the same year or the year before.
Within 3 months of each other, they came out.
People just ignored it. And he'd done, you know, was this before he'd done stuff like Knocked Up and all that? Or was it in between?
I think it was after Knocked Up.
So everyone was kind of, probably getting a bit too much sick of Seth Rogen being rammed down their throat. But it was good. It was really bloody good. And because it hadn't, no one had really sold it to me as like, you're going to absolutely love this. I just got to sit back and watch a really dark, well-made silly comedy that worked.
Adam, talk to me. You've not said much on this.
No. I generally really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Michael Pena, I've started to really love this guy.
I love Michael Pena so much.
It's Pena.
Pena.
It's got a little squiggle over the end, hasn't it? Pena.
I've seen him in a few things. And then he was in, obviously, one of the main supporting guys in Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. Where and The Martian. Was fantastic.
Then he was in The Martian. Yeah. And now in this as well. It seems like that's all I've been watching for the last...
Michael Pena.
Last few months. But this film was ridiculously funny.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, I'm not going to go to the level in which I think it's one of the best films ever.
Sure.
Or anything like that. But this is a very funny film. It is a great comedy film. And I would recommend anyone to watch it. Yeah. Now, there are a few bits that get me. The drug scenes that you guys were talking about were fantastic. That moment where he starts shooting up. The moment where, spoiler alert, he finds out that Dennis is behind the whole thing.
Yeah. That Dennis has been robbing them all.
And then he just knocks him out with the chair. Yeah. And then drives off in the raffle car.
Yes.
And he sends him the letter saying, I'm in Mexico right now, you should come down here.
And that accent is hilarious as well, with a lisp.
Oh, his lisp,
His two Asian friends.
Twins.
Yeah.
Crack me up. And his mother.
Oh, and his mother's great. Always drunk.
Yeah.
I cannot stop laughing at the scenes where he's with his mother, and she's always telling him how proud she is because she's absolutely hammered.
Yeah.
And there's one bit where she goes, I woke up and soiled myself and you weren't here to clean me up, so I'm not going to stop drinking spirits and wine. Yeah. I'm going to be drinking beer because I can handle beer.
Yeah, says I can pound them all day and still handle my shit. My favourite scene in the film isn't even one of the comedy scenes, because we've made it sound quite lighthearted.
Yeah.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, it's actually very, very dark.
Yeah.
It's a black comedy.
Yeah.
But one of my favourite scenes is when the main guy, the cop, when he the mall cop, when he decides he wants to join the police force, he goes and harasses this cop played by Ray Liotta and forces him to take him on a ride along. And Ray Liotta hates this guy, so he dumps him on this really bad street corner with drug dealers. And there's a point where Rogan's character is surrounded by six drug dealers with guns, and you're like, he's fucked here. He's either going to get killed or severely beaten. And then Rogan's on the floor sort of begging for his life, but then he pulls out this nightstick out of his sock and beats the living shit out
Absolutely.
Of all six drug dealers.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I watched this film, I literally punched the air like, yes! Because you just didn't expect it. You thought he was going to get his ass handed to him, and he whomped them all.
My favourite bit about that is afterwards, where he's just bringing this kid into the police station.
Yeah.
Sit the fuck down.
Yeah. 10-year-old kid, he's arrested.
Can we talk about the date between Ronnie and Brandy?
Yes.
Because that is that's one of my favourite parts of the whole film.
Yeah.
He looks like that, 1990 had grievously bodily harmed him in the way he was wearing, like he's channeling his inner Colour Me Bad tribute act. And as soon as, he mentions that he's on tablets because of his bipolar disorder, and then all of a sudden she's like putty in his hands.
Yeah.
And I won't lie... Obviously, they have a little smooch outside, but it's clearly when she's semi-unconscious and then spews everywhere. And he's like, what's it? What's he says to her? Like,
something like, I accept you.
I accept you, and grabs her. Yeah. And then the very next scene is just him and her basically,
just pumping
making
away.
The beast with two backs. Mm. Yeah. And I thought it looked really rapey. And then all of a sudden she was like, oh, don't stop. It's like, oh, thank God.
That was incredible.
Oh.
Yeah.
She wakes up and kind of goes, don't stop.
I was like, wow, this is so rapey. But but no, that whole part is brilliant. And as well, Anna Faris is just brilliant as an airhead.
She's a brilliant
so good.
Comedic actress, Anna Faris. And she's never
is.
Been used properly, I don't think.
Or, don't bother.
She's in sitcoms. She's in sitcoms now. It's a shame. She's a movie star.
Yeah, but she was excellent.
I love the fact she's with Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Their dinners must be hilarious.
Also as well, you mentioned about, obviously, he's really great with a nightstick as well. Mm. The part when, Harrison's got him surrounded, when he decides to sort of take on, the mission of catching this...
The streaker.
Thank
Flasher.
You, that's it, yeah. And he's dressed up as if Jimmy Tarbuck was dressed up as Batman as well. He's got the flat cap, like a driving jacket or something.
And he thinks he's in disguise. He
thinks
he's undercover.
Yeah. No.
And as he's Ansari's character calls him out straight away.
Like an 80s TV personality he used to do golf all the time. Yeah. And there's a bit when he's got his nightstick and he's basically taking down all the cops. And I thought it was quite, kind of remind me a little bit of like a budget old boy where he's all
that's
sort
what
of
I thought it's like it's like the corridor scene from old boy.
I was like, wow, he's gonna do it, but then sadly not. And also, I'm so sorry, I'm like, there's so many good things about this film. Todd from Breaking Bad,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
He is so good.
He's everywhere as well.
And he looks
at the
like a ginger Matt Damon as well.
He does,
massively.
Yeah,
he plays Charles.
Jesse Plemons.
Yeah,
he's in everything these days.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. But yeah, I did not expect to enjoy this as much as I did.
One of my favourite scenes as well is the bit when they're first put in there. All the Moor cops are coming together to put sort of a task force to go and find the streaker. And there's a slow motion scene of them coming down on the escalator. Yeah. And they're all just posing at the camera.
That's amazing.
And then Michael Peña's Dennis is just doing this sort of neck shape thing, which I can't replicate vocally to you, listener. But go and watch the film. It's such a funny
it's
scene.
It's good. It's brilliant.
It's just come from nowhere. I love the fact that it wasn't massively in the cinemas, all over TV being promoted.
Definitely.
And it's like a little gem that now you know, you want to tell people, like, check this film out. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I was reading up on it, and it's like, if you look at the ratings, IMDb's, I think, is like 5.6.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes, about 51%. And then there's one, I can't remember what it is, it's about 8.9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, people on a certain website love it.
Yeah.
I can see why.
And I think last week when I announced this, Mark, you said that it was a Marmite movie and you'd heard that some people loved it and some people hated it. And I think that is true. And thankfully, it seems that all of us are on the same side of the fence on this one. But I think it would be. I think a lot of people, the whole scene where you said it seemed a bit rapey, I think people were put off by that. They were like, no, it's date rape. That ruined the whole film.
She consented.
For them.
She's like, no, don't stop.
Carry on.
That's it. It's the bit that's funny about that is when he starts to stop, because even he's starting to think,
this is not right.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
So there's things like that put people off. There was the fact that it did come hot on the heels of Paul Blart, which of course everyone despised.
Yeah.
And it was the fact that it was at the height of Seth Rogen being in everything, like you said, Mark, and people just had fatigue from Seth Rogen. So I think all of those things combined to make people not care about this film, but they should have,
plus
because it's genuinely very good and very funny.
I think the issue there is, like you've just said, is when you make a film, a documentary film as you have, about something like that, and then a dramatization kind of comedy element comes in afterwards, you're kind of thinking, are they just trying to make the same film?
Exactly.
It's like those spoof movies, you know, Meet the Spartans. People probably thought it was like that.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Hopefully our review of it has made people realize it isn't just a spoof of that.
Yeah, it's not a spoof
winning
of Paul
documentary.
And you know what? Seth Rogen actually does Dark really, really well.
He
like
does.
That whole scene about, you know, when he's being assessed by the police psychologist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And saying, oh,
the black cloud coming out of the playground.
Yeah.
And I'm just there with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Blowing away.
Yeah, it's funny. And then it is quite, especially when Detective Harrison kind of breaks it to him that he didn't make it because of the notes from that test as well. And it is hard to watch. And then obviously when he starts going on when he kind of attacks Patton Oswalt's character by smashing his face in that sort of, what is it, like a toasted
bun? I think
it's
the pizza oven or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but it's brilliant. It's really good. And
one of the bits that made me laugh about that scene where he's breaking the news to Match is just when the other cop just like opens the door and says, I'm going to go now because I thought this would be funnier, but it's actually just sad.
Yeah.
Jodie Hill's writing.
Yeah,
so,
it's a great script,
so good.
Yeah.
And if you haven't ever watched
Eastbound and Down,
do it, because it's hilarious. I remember lending you them.
Yeah,
you watched them in about a day.
Yeah,
you watched the whole lot. It's like, here you go, watch this. You came back. I was like, what? Did they not work? It's like, I watched them all. Amazing.
I didn't realise you were into
it. Yeah, loved it.
Amazing. And Jodie Hill, I believe, has only written and directed one other film prior to this called The Foot Fist Way. And it stars Danny McBride as a Taekwondo instructor. And it's, again, just a really dark comedy.
I'm watching
very,
that
very
tonight.
Brilliant. Check it out, The Foot Fist Way.
Brilliant stuff. What was it you mentioned about his writing as well? I actually have my favourite quote here that I wrote, and it's at the beginning when Ronnie's doing the TV news interview as well. What was it? I use Mason tasers. Fuck you. Like, when, because he wants it in a certain way, and he's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Just that scene where he's chasing the Flasher through the mall, and then he goes off.
Oh.
And then as the Flasher sort of sees Anna Faris, is Brandy? Is it Brandy?
Yeah, Brandy. Yeah.
And he starts, and he just comes out with a gun and shoots
him. Yeah,
it's so unexpected.
I was like, shit, he's killed him.
He just pops into frame with a gun and boom, blows away. This
so dark.
You think he's dead, then the guy starts moving around.
Yeah,
like, oh, thank God.
Like the scene when he's getting on with Brandy. Like, God, that could have turned out so much worse than it was.
So good. Thank you for not giving a shite.
No, I'm genuinely delighted because this is a film that I've evangelised about for years, and I always say to people, watch this. And it's one of those that people will, you know, when you say to someone, watch this film, they go, yeah, I will, and you know they never will.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you had to for the purposes of a podcast. Yeah. You're, you know, an enforced audience, so I'm delighted that you've actually sat through it. And
makes up for Batman and Robin as well, so thank you.
Yeah.
Is that your last rewatch?
It was,
I'm so sorry.
It was. It's okay.
Let's score this.
Can we give it a score?
Yeah,
go on. Well, I bloody love this film. To me, it's a solid 8 out of 10 for me as far as comedies go.
I'm with you as well. 8 out of 10.
Cool.
I'm not going to disagree. 8 out of 10. Loved it.
See, I was actually going to go low. I was going to go sort of 7-ish, something like that. But talking about it with other people as well has made me laugh about it even more.
Yeah. Listen to us all. Yeah.
You know what, Adam, same here. I was coming in with a 7, but talking about now, I'm like, no, this is actually really good.
I'm thinking an 8, just because like how much I'm laughing at recounting it. And that is a good comedy. A good comedy is something that makes you laugh as you recount it. So.
Absolutely. Well, 8 out of 10. Hooray. For Observe and Report, I am delighted.
That has got to be one of the highest...
Apart from Blade Runner.
Yeah, but that was always going to be high.
Well, yeah.
In terms
of...
the films that generally we've given high scores to on rewatch are classics, known to be classics, whereas this one was kind of out there. I didn't know how you guys are going to respond, so I'm delighted we've given it such a good score.
Brilliant.
And whose turn is it next time round for the
it's
rewatch?
It's mine.
Oh, no.
So genuinely now, this isn't a setup. I really wanted to completely shaft you all by saying something like Justin Bieber the movie or something like that. I was going to completely punish us. As we know, we're now into mid-October and in a couple of weeks' time, it's going to be Halloween. I know that you're not a big fan of horror. No. I know that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give you a film that I think will convert you and make you realise that this is a film that can scare you. It's been done well. It's very, very well made. And the reason I've chose it is because we were sat in the cinema about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and we went to see John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China.
Awesome.
And you turned around to me and you said that the lead character, the man himself...
Michael Myers?
No, in Big Trouble in Little China.
Kurt Russell! Oh my God!
How cool he is as a guy.
Yeah.
And it made me think, I'm going to give you a film which is my favourite role of his. So on the next episode, we're finally going to do it.
About time.
It's about time. People have had goes at me on Facebook and Twitter for not picking it.
Yeah.
We're doing John Carpenter's The Thing.
About bloody time.
And I know you've never seen it, but this is going to be one of the best
rewatches. I'm joining in on this one. I'm going to be
If you can get here, you come along and bloody record for it.
Awesome.
Next time, The Thing.
For Faster Mind, which is our rip-off, homage to Mastermind. For those of you unfamiliar with the game show Mastermind, each contestant has a specialist subject and answers a variety of questions on them. They then have a general knowledge round. We're not doing the general knowledge round because we can't be bothered. So we're going to do the specialist subject round. You're each going to get 5 questions. And then at the end of that, whoever has the highest score wins. If there is a tie situation, there is a tiebreaker question.
Not stone, paper, scissor?
Sadly not. Right, we've actually got a genuine question this time round. So, I'm going to start with Gemma, because she's the guest.
Oh my God, Gemma, so nervous!
What is your specialist subject?
My specialist subject is Edgar Wright movies. Or the film work of Edgar Wright. It's Edgar Wright.
Just Edgar Wright.
It's the films of Edgar
Wright. I'm so nervous!
You'll be fine.
Not
so,
the stuff about his life. What did he have for breakfast?
You can't see this, but she's actually just done a little poo.
I wonder what the smell was. So, are you ready?
I think so.
Question number 1. The World's End is the final film in the what trilogy?
Cornetto.
Correct. Question number 2. Which Irish comedian played David in Shaun of the Dead?
Dylan Moran.
Correct. Question number 3. Who co-wrote The Adventures of Tintin and Ant-Man with Wright?
Simon Pegg.
Incorrect. Joe Cornish.
Bollocks.
Question 4. On whose graphic novel is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World based?
Don't know.
The answer is Brian Lee O'Malley.
Never gonna get that.
Question 5. Who cameos in Hot Fuzz as Nick's ex-girlfriend, fully covered in a forensic scientist suit?
Kate Blanchett.
It is Kate Blanchett. So you've scored 3 out of 5.
Pierce.
That is not bad. That is not bad. I think that's actually pretty good.
Trust me, you'll beat me.
So well done. Well done, Gemma. Adam, you're next. So what is your specialist subject?
The Dark Knight trilogy.
That is correct. Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy. First question. In what year was Batman Begins released?
2005.
Correct. Question 2. What is the full name of the character played by Katie Holmes and later by Maggie Gyllenhaal in the trilogy?
Rachel Dawes.
Correct. Question 3. Who plays Sal Maroni in The Dark Knight?
Oh. Eric Roberts.
Correct. Question 4. Christopher and Jonathan Nolan are the credited writers of the trilogy with which other writer?
David S. Goyer?
Correct. Yes. Question five. Which real-life American football team played the Gotham Rogues in The Dark Knight Rises?
Seattle Seahawks?
Unlucky, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you got 4 out of 5. So that's very good. You're our current leader, Mark.
Goyer cannot be credited as a writer. That's a false answer. He's the worst writer ever.
Sorry. So, Mark, the score to beat is 4.
Oh, my Lord.
What is your specialist subject?
Kevin Smith movies.
The films of Kevin Smith, your hero, your god.
All right, you're going to put really ridiculously hard now.
Question number one. How many million dollars did Zach and Miri Make a Porno take at the US box office?
17.
Incorrect, 31. Question two. Who played nurse number 2 in Jersey Girl?
Don't know.
It's Brian T. Delaney. Question three. What is the runtime of Chasing Amy?
1 hour 28 minutes.
It's 1 hour 53 minutes. Question 4. Who was the post-production supervisor on Clerks?
Jason Mewes.
It's Charlie McLellan. Final question. Question 5. Which journalist said, Tusk is just another really juvenile and inconsistent genre outing from Smith, who still can't decide if he wants to be a comedy director or a horror director. He's terrible at both.
You.
It was Felix Vasquez of cinemacraze.com.
I was going to say that.
So, I'm sorry, Mark. You've scored 0 out of 5.
Really good.
On the work of Kevin Smith. The winner of Fastermind is Adam with 4 out of 5.
Screw you guys.
Well done, Adam.
I can't breathe.
I'd even done research on his movies.
as a possible chance at redemption, I want to throw out the... the tiebreaker question anyway. So this is a question that has a number, is the answer. You have to give me your best guess, and the person who comes closest without going over wins. If you go over, you bust, okay. Like pontoon. So the question is this. George Clooney holds the record for being nominated in the most different Oscar categories. How many different categories has he been nominated in? Mark, as you got shafted in the real quiz, I'm going to let you pick first.
8.
Adam, as you won the quiz, you can pick second.
4.
And Gemma?
7.
So we had Mark with 8.
Yep.
Adam with 4. Gemma with
sorry,
7.
I didn't realize.
The winner again is Adam. Because the answer is 6. And Adam's the only one who didn't go over.
Shocking.
I knew it wouldn't be over like 5. No.
Yeah.
But just so everyone knows, George Clooney has been nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Supporting Actor, Best Lead Actor, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Original Screenplay. Good God Almighty, he's a talented man.
Yeah.
I think it's time for a new game show.
We need a new one for next time, don't we?
I've been thinking about this, and it's got to be sensible, and I'm liking the fact that we're doing homages to famous shows, but it's quite hard when you've got to do it over audio, because I wanted to do catchphrase, but we can't.
Oh, that's a shame.
A lot of people want to see Fan Movie Fortunes returned. It might.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. It's a good game. I've come up with a new game. Do you remember back in the day, Blockbusters?
Of course.
Always!
With the legend himself, don't remember his name.
Bob Holden!
Yeah, that's the one.
It's a nice simple...
Yeah, exactly. So it's a nice simple board. So what I'm doing for next week is I'm making a little board with each letter. And it's basically a trivia one where like, what B is Tarantino's blah, blah, blah. So yeah. I'll just basically use anything I can. Now, we've got to be careful with copyright here. So it's going to be called... Blockbuster Videos.
See?
it's all right. Yeah. We're not going to get sued by Blockbuster Video and we're not going to get sued by Blockbuster.
Well, Blockbuster Video, they've gone out of business, yeah, haven't they? So we're all right. We're
okay.
All right.
So Blockbuster Videos will be coming.
That's amazing.
And it's going to be Ben versus Adam. And then we'll have it for 3 weeks running.
As we usually do.
Yeah.
And the topics will be general movie questions. So you're not even going to have any kind of hints on being able to research. I'm going to throw anything at you. And it's basically who gets the most across the board. And we will be putting on Instagram to show we've actually made the board. So I'll be getting some sellotape and stick and make it all look cool.
Arts and crafts time.
So
again.
Come back next time for Blockbuster Videos. Listener questions times, people. So, to get things started, we've had some great questions come through on Twitter. Now, these guys, the Royalist Podcast, have had 2 questions this week. Cheeky,
two?
But we'll let them.
Greedy.
I know. The most shameful performance ever from an actor. And this goes off the back, I think, of us doing Dunkachino on the last episode. Yeah. So, throw it over to you, Gemma.
Kate Blanchett. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, that's pretty bad. What is she meant to be? Like a Russian or German? What is she meant
I
to be?
I thought she was Ukrainian.
Oh, God knows.
Like a Nazi bobbed head. Oh, she was just woeful. But she's won like so many awards in her career and she's incredible. And she did this pile of bollocks.
That is it, yeah.
There's no way of trusting that one up. But yeah. And everyone in Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, to be fair.
I think that's fair, yeah.
Ben, what did you pick?
I could have gone for the entire cast of Battlefield Earth, but I've narrowed it down to Forest Whitaker and John Travolta. These are two guys who are genuinely talented actors. John Travolta's made some bad choices in his career. You know, he's been in a lot of shit films, but he is a good actor. And Forest Whitaker's an exceptional actor. So for them to both slum it in this piece of shit and both... Even though, you know, it was supposed to be Travolta's labour of love, and even he looked bored during it. But Forest Whitaker was catatonic through the damn thing. Shocking.
I still have nightmares about that laugh. Genuine.
That's just me outside your bedroom window.
Adam? Well, I could easily go for Pacino and Jack and Jill, but I'm actually going to go with De Niro in Meet the Parents and... subsequent films.
Oh, and not in Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Just in, well, yeah, I suppose anything in his later career so far.
The final third of his career.
I think even De Niro himself admits, when he got a Lifetime Achievement Award, I think it was at the Golden Globes, in his acceptance speech said, "I'm so glad you're giving me this before Meet the Fockers comes out." Or Little Fockers or whatever.
Even he knew,
So even he knew it was shite.
Yeah.
I've had to go with Justin Long in Tusk. To actually put himself in that suit and read a script where he's trying to eat a fish with a mask on and stupid kind of whiskers coming out and it just dribbling from his chin and then crying. I just don't know what he's doing.
That's his BAFTA
He didn't have an absolute great legacy, but he's a good actor and
he's
I like him
actor.
And
he's
I really
a,
like him.
He's a funny presence in
films. And I just think he's, what do you do now?
Yeah.
By the way, it was Wallister podcast, not Royalist. So sorry about that. So that's what I got wrong. Sorry, guys.
In all fairness, if anyone sends in a question, I don't think they expect you to get their name right nowadays, man.
But I was assuming it was like a pro-Elizabeth.
Yeah. This week on the episode, Prince Charles.
Cavaliers and the roundheads around the corner, waging war.
Special interview with Diana. They've also asked a question which we're going to have to kind of amend a little bit because we've got a female here. So
Hello.
Do you have a really bad memory of showing a girlfriend or a potential girlfriend or boyfriend
a
movie or could take them to the cinema? Any bad experiences? Any kind of build up?
Well, I think it's not really a bad experience, but I remember going on a date with someone I was courting with.
Courting? Oh my goodness.
Courting.
My granddad.
That's right, because I am your granddad.
It was my granddad you went with.
At the time, I was 16 years old, and me and a potential suitor went to see Toy Story 2. And, of course, the bit when Jessie gets abandoned is really sad, and I found it quite sad, so I started crying on my date. And, that didn't really last long. I think it was about 2 months, and then he binned me.
Shame.
Yeah, I know. Who's laughing now, though? He works in a Volkswagen shop.
Other jobs are available. Yeah. Probably not, because he sounds like a retard.
He was.
Cool. Now, I'm going to go with when I was at uni, I took an ex-girlfriend at the time to go and see The Matrix Reloaded, and she came out of that film saying, "That's incredible, I want the DVD now." And I went home and was like, "Oh, you probably just got blown away by the special effects. Think about the film. It was actually a bag of toss." And she's, well, I don't know now, but she still went and bought the DVD and watched it again and said it was brilliant, and I just didn't get it.
Shocking.
And we weren't together much longer after
Lucky
that.
Lucky escape.
Yeah.
I went to see South Park, Bigger, Longer and Uncut with my girlfriend at the time, who through the whole thing sat there with a face like thunder. And afterwards I was like, "Oh, did you not like the film?" She was like, "Oh, no, I just don't like South Park." Why didn't you tell me that before we went?
Because this film was going to change everything.
Exactly. Why go through with the charade of seeing the damn film then? Shame.
That lasted long run.
I've told you guys before about the time I took a girl to see Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and we broke up 2 days later because she didn't like it. As far as cinema moments go, I went with a girl I was kind of seeing to go and see Sin City in 2005, and we were on the back seat and she was trying to instigate certain things.
Ooh,
but I wanted to watch, I genuinely wanted to watch the film, so I was just like, no.
Turned down a handy because I was too into the film.
He was like that last week at the Martian. I was trying everything. He was like, "Look, I want to see Matt Damon's performance." I was like, "I want to see your performance."
Suffice to say, she wasn't very impressed and didn't last much longer.
Did she just start jerking off the bloke?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it didn't last much longer. The hand job.
Yeah, I thought you looked familiar.
Degrading lads and ladette.
Thank you.
Right, at Carlos05, you told us your top directors and a few episodes back, but none of them were a female director.
Shame.
So, can you please tell us? You shame.
I did.
So, could you that's please tell us one of your favourite directors that's a female?
There aren't any.
I see.
I'm joking.
He's joking.
Wow. I see all professions as genderless, so yes. I guess.
Like gender fluid.
So, who's your favourite female director?
I'm going to say Sofia Coppola.
Oh, she's terrible.
Hang on, wait a minute. What's the translation?
That's her one thing. That's her one good thing.
Virgin Suicides was all right.
Marie Antoinette was fucking terrible.
Oh. Yeah, fair dues. But there's potential with Ava DuVernay, who directed Selma. I'm completely on my own here. Catherine Bigelow. Come on, she won.
Catherine Bigelow.
You only allowed one choice.
Bigelow's mine.
Stick
I'm
with what
Bigelow.
You said.
Sofia Coppola.
Okay.
I'm going with Bigelow. Hurt Locker, Point Break.
Is that Deuce Bigelow?
Yes. What was the one she did recently?
Hurt Locker.
More recently.
Oh, more recently. Oh, Zero Dark Thirty.
Yes, ooh, Zero Dark yeah. Thirty is a superb film, brilliantly directed.
That's
actually,
overrated.
She's got a very good back catalogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good back catalogue.
Especially in recent years.
Yeah.
I'm going with Penny Marshall because she directed Big.
Hey.
That's all you need for me. Yeah, if you make that film, you're a legend forever.
I told you that. It's genderless. Yeah. I'm not. Not doing it. I'm not segregating people by gender.
Cool.
Which I hate.
Scott Higgins, will you guys be reviewing Sicario and The Walk?
The Walk, no.
I have no interest in seeing a guy with blue contact lenses trying to do an impression of Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no interest in seeing a dramatization of a documentary film that came out.
And I just don't want to watch
three years
it.
Ago.
Yeah, and we've got better things to do. I'll tell you what, The Walk is wank. Done.
Yeah. Sicario, however.
Let's talk.
Now, Adam hasn't seen this, so this needs to be a spoiler-free conversation, but myself, Mark and Gemma have all seen it. Mark and I have seen it twice. So I think that suggests to you whether we liked it or not.
It's that bad.
It's tremendous. It is, I'm going to put myself out on a ledge now and say without hyperbole, it's the best film of the year.
I totally agree.
Anyone want a drink?
Do you want to go get the teas on?
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Superb film, flawlessly directed, a masterclass intention, and the acting is just untouchable.
Use of music as well, that whole doom doom.
The sound design for the whole thing is unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah.
Really, really. just,
but this is good because he'll go and see it now as we tell him how good it is.
But you can you almost feel like you're in Mexico yourself and it's just so tense. And
Honestly, this is the truth as well. At this moment in time, it's my film of the year.
Yeah.
We've obviously got a big couple coming out, but my God, from start to finish, it is pure, pure tense. And the acting by Del Toro is second to none.
And that bit with the
but the thing and the bit with the other thing.
With the other thing.
And Emily Blunt as well. I mean,
she's
incredible. Such a great ambassador.
That one scene. Oh.
Yeah, I know, right?
It is. It's incredible.
Yeah, I would like to. I'm hoping that, you know, Sicario is going to be recognised in awards season. Mm-hmm. And I really do hope Emily Blunt gets recognised as well because she's incredible in that film.
I think she's got a fair shout at Best Actress nomination. I think Benicio Del Toro is an absolute lock for a Best Supporting Actor nomination. Yeah, yeah. And I would even give it to Josh Brolin because I think he's so cool. He's just this swaggering, swinging dick of a man. He just doesn't care.
And no one in the world
can
chew gum like him.
No.
I'm starting to worry that you're going to listen back to this and realise that this is how I review everything.
Yeah. If I was to score it right now, it would be a 9.
Ditto.
Yep.
And the only reason why I wouldn't give this a 10 is going by Adam, your system of something has to stand the test of time, and I agree with that fully. Yep. But I know this is going to be a film I will watch again and again and again, and I can see now it will be a 10 in a year or two's time. Yeah. But for now, it's a very high 9.
Ian Young, is there an actor and director that you would like to see work together? We've talked about directors working together, but we're talking about an actor and a director.
Do you know, I have this actually. Oscar Isaac, who I'm just a huge, huge fan of. He's going to be in the new Star Wars films. He's going to be in the new X-Men film as well. He was in Drive. He played like Corey Mulligan's boyfriend, didn't he, in Drive?
Yeah, the little lad's dad.
Yeah. There was another film. He's been in a TV show recently on HBO called Show Me a Hero. There's another film.
Inside Llewyn Davis?
Do you know, I've never seen Llewyn Davis. Oh, that's great. I don't care for folk music.
Yeah. Really? What, no, really, really good.
What was the one he did with Jessica Chastain recently?
Oh, A Most Violent Year.
Most Violent Year. He's phenomenal in that. And every time I watch him, every time I see him, the first thought that comes into my mind is, why has he not been in a Scorsese film? Because he is the sort of guy that Scorsese would love. He loves those kind of, you know, kind of slightly macho, you know, street fighting type guys. I could see him just owning a Scorsese picture.
Is he the one that's playing Apocalypse? In,
he is.
And looks dreadful.
Yeah, yeah.
I think like, he looks quite good.
You ever seen that cartoon that Will Ferrell voice called Mastermind, I think it was? Like the big blue alien head. Yeah. Kind of looks like him, right?
Definitely. It could be between that and Ivan Ooze from the Power Rangers film.
I'm going to say I'd like to see Daniel Day-Lewis work with Tommy Wiseau.
Yes!
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the kind of acting ability
with him? I want more from you!
Yeah, exactly.
Or just to test what Ben says about Kevin Smith, Kevin Smith directing him, because if anyone can produce a good performance, it's Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah. Could Kevin Smith get that from him?
Yeah. No. Spoiler.
Put a pin in that. I'd like to see Daniel Day-Lewis play Tommy Wiseau.
I thought you'd say play Kevin Smith.
He's a method actor as well, so he'd have to become Tommy Wiseau.
It'd be amazing.
You can win a pair of boxers for that suggestion. That's great. That'd be Garrett.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah. I would say, for my choice, Adam Sandler and Lars von Trier. No, joke. Like, sorry, I'll give my
That'd
real
be
answer.
A very interesting.
Can you imagine
film.
Adam Sandler exploring the themes of mutilation of genitalia? Or
I would like to see him hit himself in the cock with a hammer.
Yeah, I'd like to see him be directed towards a highway.
Fingers crossed. All seriousness, I was thinking maybe Tilda Swinton and Quentin Tarantino, because love Tilda Swinton. Yeah. And I think she kind of puts herself out there for any roles as well, and I think she would just have a ball with Tarantino. So yeah,
that's a great shout. I like that.
I'd like to see JJ Abrams and Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Nice.
They do some fun they'd, stuff
they'd never get any work done. They'd just be bumming around.
I think that would be a very interesting movie.
Yeah.
Izzy Normanton on Facebook: now that Macbeth is out, what is the best and the worst Shakespeare film that you've ever seen?
It's a bit of a weird one because I'll be honest, I haven't really seen that many Shakespeare films, to be absolutely honest. The only ones I've really seen is the Zeffirelli version of Romeo and Juliet, which I love, being a bit pretentious with my soy latte and chai. I'm a fan of Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet as well. The only bad performance I've seen of a Shakespeare performance is in Hot Fuzz when they do the Romeo and Juliet performance. Yeah. And the kissing's the only real part of it. But that's the worst one. But in all entirety, I can't really answer on that side.
I'm the same. I can't really say that I've seen a great deal. No. I have a bit of a soft spot for 10 Things I Hate About You, which is, of course, a modern adaptation of Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I love that film.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna watch that when I get home.
But I've never really sought out movies of Shakespeare.
No, me neither. I think the only one I can think that I have seen is the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet, which I hated at the time because that was when I hated DiCaprio because that was his pretty boy phase. But I've seen it since, and it's actually not bad. Yeah. The only one that I can think of that I hate isn't actually a Shakespeare film. It's Shakespeare in Love, which is just
you can have it.
Terrible film. And how that ever won the best film Oscar is beyond me, because it's a shower of shit. It's even worse than Crash.
I think you've got to be a particular director to work on a Shakespeare film as well, because it has to be done in a particular way. And I think it's one of those things that's quite hard to actually act unless you have a certain caliber of actor. So,
and Macbeth looks great.
Oh my God, it's incredible.
I'm just going to say Romeo and Juliet just for the soundtrack. It's got Radiohead talk show host, which is one of the greatest songs ever. That's about it.
That's a brilliant soundtrack.
I've not seen hardly any
of the soundtrack.
And Garbage as well, with Number One Crush, and amazing.
This is quite an interesting one, which we've kind of already answered, but I suppose we've got to hear you two as well. Sarah Walker's, today's the last day of the year. What's your film of the year? So me and you've basically said Sicario.
Yeah, I'll agree. I'll go threes on that, Sicario.
So Adam?
Ant-Man.
Cool.
Brilliant choice.
But bearing in mind that when we do our end of year roundup, we go by UK release date. When we do Skip Back in Time, we go by the IMDb official date, which doesn't always tally with the UK release. Whiplash was this year, remember?
Oh my God. Yeah.
So don't sleep on Whiplash, because that's going to be in your list. I mean, for me, it's a very close second to Sicario at the minute.
Yep.
Oh God, and The Martian. This is quite a quick fire round, okay? So Jack Lee, your favourite Tarantino movie?
Oh, I want to say Django Unchained for some reason.
Pulp Fiction.
Reservoir Dogs.
Inglourious.
Nice.
Wow.
Your favourite Scorsese movie?
The Departed.
Oh, nice. Oh. Straight away.
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Raging Bull. This is good. Favourite David Fincher film?
Gone Girl.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. It's so good.
That's good, good.
Fight Club.
Alien 3. No, Fight Club.
Seven. And finally, your favourite James Bond film?
Live and Let Die.
I agree.
Yay!
Casino Royale.
I agree.
The modern one.
Yeah, the modern one.
Final question from James Howe. Now, he's asked two, and I think you'll agree that you might want to bring these back. Entourage ended a TV series on the big screen. There's rumours that I think 24 is going to do it, or has done. I don't know. I don't care. In your opinion, what TV series deserves an ending on the big cinema screen? Now, if you can answer it now, do it. But if not, I'm happy to bring it back.
Ooh, it's interesting. Well, I wouldn't say
you're
it's
not
my,
coming back.
No. I wouldn't say it's my final answer. However, I know like the recent series of The Walking Dead has become incredibly cinematic. Like anyone who's seen the first episode of season 6 hopefully might agree with me, but it's very, very cinematic.
Yeah, I'd just prefer they had a better CGI budget.
that could be how they might close it, but that's a really tough question.
I know my answer for this. My answer would be Deadwood. I don't know if any of you guys have ever watched it.
Ian McShane.
Ian McShane playing Elsewhere and an old HBO Western show that was phenomenal. There were three seasons, I believe, and then for whatever reason, HBO. I think there was a changing of the guard at HBO. Yeah. The management changed.
A lot of effing and jeffing on that one.
Yeah, a hell of a lot of effing. more than this show, even.
Effing and jeffing and keffing.
Big time. And I would love to see them finish the story because they never did. And there was talk they were going to do some movies and it's never come to fruition, but I would love to see that ended properly.
There's also, sorry to interrupt, but there's also, there was an announcement not long ago about Flight of the Conchords coming back as a movie. Is that right?
That'd be amazing.
And I'm very excited about that. And I'm a huge, huge fan of that. So that'll be, I'm looking forward to when that actually happens.
Me too.
I'm always like a bit of a stick in the mud on these because no.
You always go, no.
Yeah, no.
It's like, its own thing. Doesn't need to be a film.
So
that's his answer. He's not giving you an answer.
I just don't think, they rarely work.
Yeah.
You finished it off. Serenity, it worked.
Yes, it did. Big time.
But they rarely do.
Yeah.
I'm going to say right now, with the way that it's kind of gone, I would like us to now get a movie for Silence of the Lambs with Mads Mikkelsen and then be the end of series 3 so we get the movie. Because I think he's not going to get series 4 the way it's going. So give us a movie for 2 hours and just nail it.
That'd be the weirdest 2 hours of your life. Yeah.
So this is another question. Let's bring this one back then. Do you get the answers now?
I love it.
With all the foreign movies getting remade in Hollywood.
Shame.
Which is a big shame. Is there a film that you think would be better remade abroad?
Here's Adam's answer. No, because remakes are always bad. They never work out.
That's a head scratcher. Is there a film that would have worked better abroad that's actually UK or American?
So something that was made here or in America that would be better suited to a foreign film.
American Pie? Like German Strudel, I don't know. That could work.
God knows.
I'd like to see The Magnificent Seven done in Japan.
I wonder what that'd be like.
Around about the time of samurai, maybe.
It's a good idea that. Someone should do that.
We'll think about it. We might come back. We might not. We might forget about it.
Probably
will. See you later. Tweet of the week. Jessica Hignett has put, she's at Jezebelly. Listening to Skip to the End talking about Legend. It's nice to have a brand new podcast on my list for my long train journey home. # now listening, # skip to the end. I'm glad we help her.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's really nice.
Enjoy your
That's
journey.
All you got to do.
You should also read Popcorn Heart.
Definitely.
I think you should definitely read Popcorn Heart.
After listening to Skip to the End.
If you can only do one of them, listen to Skip to the End. Yeah.
But if you're really pushed for time, you can always read Popcorn Heart.
And on that note, where do we go to do that? You've got a new website.
Yeah, popcornheart.co.uk.
Done.
Easy to remember.
Yay.
Quickly as well, the results for the poster competition. Mm-hmm. So this one is quite an interesting one. We put out there the three good posters first. So Ben had Train Spotting, Adam had it was Batman and Superman with Batman and his face being ripped off. It looked really good. And I had The Exorcist.
Superman one with
whichever. And I had The Exorcist. I won.
Of course you did.
Of course you did.
But, aren't you? But this is the most interesting part. We put out the bad posters. Top Dog,
which is, I voted for
one's
that.
One's smart, one's tough.
Adam which had Expendables 3, which is a horrific, and people were moaning, gave them headaches.
I'll be honest, I voted for that one because that was the worst.
Fucking
I've
awful.
Seen.
It is awful.
It is very awful.
Nearly had a fit.
And I had Good Luck Chuck, which was some of the worst CGI I've ever seen.
And it had Dane Cook in it.
This
so
is the
terrible.
Honest gospel truth. It's a draw. I've added them all up on Twitter today,
really?
Instagram. So I think we need to come back with another word.
A draw between who?
Us three.
All three.
All
a
three of us.
Three-way tie.
We all literally got exactly the same.
And the funny thing is, literally, nobody wins.
Yeah.
We don't win as the listeners.
So I think we need to bring back for next time a really shite poster again.
Round two with the worst poster
yeah,
competition.
Because you guys can't win now at the good one. You just it's not worth it. So let's bring back next time.
Amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's do it. So that brings us to the end of episode 31 of the Skip to the End podcast. And it means we're saying goodbye for now to Gemma.
Oh, she...
it's spread.
Yeah.
not, she hasn't spread. Oh, actually, joking aside... I've got something for you.
Oh,
it's emanating.
So, basically, we at Skip the End really do love you for coming on today. And we know that you're in a relationship with your boyfriend and you've mentioned him a few times.
Yeah.
Which bores us. but it's really nice to know that you're happily in love.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get in. You know, the listeners out there don't want to know what you get up to in the bedroom and stuff. It's not
oh God,
right. But I'm going to try and help you improve your bedroom activity.
Oh, no, I don't
for your boyfriend to take home tonight, I've got you a pair of Tommy Wiseau pants to say thank you
man.
For coming on the episode, and I hope that you both benefit from that. And I don't want to see any pictures of his bum.
He's going to make love to me in the belly button, isn't he?
Yeah.
So that's for saying thank you to
Thanks.
Coming on. And if you want,
thank you.
You will listen to this and you'll probably find out, but you can have them yourself and just not tell him.
I could too.
Well,
that's
I'm
from
annoyed.
Us to you.
We're on here every week.
We're on here every bloody week, me and Adam. We haven't got a pair of Tommy pants.
I've got your Tommy condoms.
I don't want a Tommy Johnny.
Yeah,
a Johnny
it.
Johnny.
That's it, a Johnny yeah. for your Johnny.
You know, you can wear it and then at the end just blow your head off, really. So.
Oh my God, this was going so well. But enjoy that.
I will do. I will have lots of...
You're not getting a present every time you come.
Is this going to make him a little bit more wiseau?
Nice.
That happened.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a Mark level joke. You've been here too long. Did you enjoy your time?
I loved it. Thank you so much for letting me come on again.
You are welcome. Sure, we'll Brilliant. Have you back again Yay. In future. Speaking of the future, Adam, what's our topic going to be on the next episode?
We're going to be looking at the worst plot twists.
Indeed we are. And Mark, what's our rewatch?
That film I don't ever talk about. Not that much of a fan, but we're going to watch it. The Thing.
And Gemma, what's the main movie we're going to review next time?
You're going to be reviewing Spectre.
Indeed we are. And we'll also be skipping back in time to 1998. So tune in next time. Arm yourselves because no one else here will say.